we present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the news quiz, which this week, to mark the Tory party conference, comes from the Stuckey's Hotel in Blackpool. We start with an item from the Liverpool Echo, read by Peter Donaldson.
Large birdcage wanted for OAP. Reasonable offer.
Thanks to John Carter of Rochdale for sending that. Let's meet the teams now. Please welcome first on my right, Linda Smith, and the BBC political correspondent, John Sargent. And challenging them on my left, Jeremy Hardy and the editor of The Spectator, Boris Johnson. Linda, your first question. Who promised to show a little common sense?
Oh, it's a nice easy one to start. It was William Hague with his handy hints, wasn't it? Five handy hints for happy government. Common sense things like promising there'll be no tax rises 20 years before you're in office. Very sensible. Oh, all sorts of things, parents more involved in schools. And I think the third one was that half a Brazil nut can remove wine stains from furniture. That one's worth remembering, I think. So it was, wasn't it? It was little William. They seem to be taking him a bit more seriously this year, I think, because in mafia parlance, he's now semi-connected to the Thatcher firm, isn't he?
Their main function is to protect Blair from the left, isn't it, the Tories? Because after the Labour conference, everybody's thinking, oh, bloody hell, these lot, they're as bad as the Tories. And then the Tories come along and you think, oh, no, they're just not, are they? They so have lost it, though, the Tories. I mean, they just love Anne Widdecombe. And normally, with Tory politicians, you wish on them nothing but misery. But in the case of Anne Widdecombe, you just find yourself wishing there was just somebody else in Widdecombe's life other than Jesus.
You know, there isn't someone else in Widdecombe's life.
Well, there's Jesus, and that's it. And Jesus can't handle it. It's too much for one guy, even if he is omnipresent.
It was William Hague who signalled a return to the Thatcherite agenda with his common sense revolution. The shifts in the Tory party mean that after the next election, Britain could find itself ruled by a right-wing government that cares nothing for the sick, the poor or the disabled. That's when Labour wins a second term. On Tuesday, during her speech, Anne Widdecombe electrified the conference hall so that General Pinochet would feel at home if he don't. Two points to Linda. John, whose new style of politics owes less to the Third Way and more to the Third Reich?
Oh, it's a tricky question about Austria. Goodness me, it's all about Georg Haider. He's got a very strange name. Anyway, he's worrying a lot of people because in Austria he thinks there shouldn't be so many foreigners there, so presumably so many Austrians there.
He said that his remarks supporting the Nazis were actually taken out of uniform.
It's frightening to think of Austria having as the second largest party, a party that, you know, is sympathetic to an evil fascist dictator. That could never happen here. Makes you proud to be British, really, doesn't it?
Austria's far-right Freedom Party, led by the Hitler-admiring Georg Haider, won nearly 30% of the vote in this week's general election. Freedom Party members celebrated their success with a ball. Yes, they finally popped Hitler's spare one out of its pickle jar. 2 points to John. Boris, who expects the teenies to be able to tot up?
This is a question about David Blunkett.
Yes.
And it must be something to do with maths.
Yes.
I think it's David Blunkett is setting some new standards for literacy. Very small. Very
the
small.
Unborn.
Yes.
He's making the unborn take drug tests. And they're going to have guidelines throughout life. They're going to have goals for the over 60s as well. By the age of 65, you should be unable to remember what people on the television used to be in. And then by the age of 70, you should forget that you once held tolerant views about something.
Yes, the government's announced plans to introduce early learning goals for children as young as three. Government officials have promised that the new tests will be pitched at the right level for three-year-olds, which is good news for anyone doing their A-levels next year. 2 points to that side, and Jeremy, here's your main question and your music.
She may be the face I can't forget, a trace of pleasure or regret. Maybe my treasure or the price I have to pay. She may be the song that summer sings.
Jeremy.
Yes?
Popular former Conservative Party leader came to Blackpool this week. What was her name?
It's the voices that make her do it, you know. She turned up to speak in support of her friend, General Pinochet.
Now, well, now, wait a minute. She didn't say he was her friend.
Didn't she?
Did she?
Yeah.
I think if you study her speech closely, as I did, you'll find that she said he was Britain's friend. At a very, yes, at a very important time.
Are you suggesting, that Boris, that he doesn't know who she is?
She has tea with him. She goes down to Surrey where...
Well, Lord Longford goes to jail and has tea with Mara Hindley.
You they know, should have a happy foursome, clearly.
I had a few close encounters with Lady Thatcher this week, but every time I met her, she seemed to be more on transmit than receive.
Well, are you famous? I mean, you were instrumental in her downfall.
Isn't it? We had an encounter some years ago, and she's never really forgiven me. It's true.
Does she ever mention
that? If I hadn't been there, she'd still be Prime Minister.
I know, you said... we all saw it. He said, Prime Minister, here's the microphone. Do you remember? And she was just about to say something to rally her troops.
I resign.
He said, Prime Minister, the microphone's over here. And that was it.
It was a difficult question, obviously. If you thought it was a question, it was a statement.
Do
you ever talk about it when you two get together?
We do. We sit around the fire in the evenings discussing it all, reminiscing, you know, remember Paris, and I laugh and she laughs.
Before we start round two, here's an extract from the minutes of the Raysbury Parish Council.
Item 17, to discuss progress towards the installation of mains drainage at the Cricket Pavilion and Scout Hut. Item 18, to discuss any motions consequently submitted.
Well, thanks to the anonymous sender of that. Linda, who made a frank admission that he'd like to be Mayor of London?
Uh-huh. Oh, Now, of course, this is Frank Dobson, who's joined Glenda Jackson and Geoffrey Archer... in a sort of remake of Women in Love, I think. He'll be the bearded Alan Bates figure, and he'll probably slug it out with Lord Archer recreating that scene. So, yeah, that's it. He's the bearded one. That's, I suppose, quite easy to pick him out. At least people recognise him, I suppose.
Did you see Archer's speech? He dropped a terrible clangor, Archer, about the mayoralty. He said, talking about which candidate Labour might field, he said, I don't care who they put it up. And I thought, well, you're not in a position to criticise, are you?
Actually, one thing that's been nice to see this conference is how age has mellowed Norman Tebbit, isn't it?
You find him
old sweetie. Oh, he's an old sweetie. I think he'll be advertising Worth as an original next.
He'd like you, Linda. He's soft, he's cuddly, you'd love him.
Yeah. He's in touch with his feminine side, I think.
Absolutely.
You heard his views on Michael Portillo. He's very open about that side of himself.
Yeah.
Health Secretary Frank Dobson has said he'd like to be the Labour candidate for Mayor of London and has added his name to the one waiting list that's not shown an increase since 1997. Lord Archer beat Stephen Norris for the Tory place. Mr Norris will now retire in order to spend more time with his families. 2 points to Linda. Boris, listen to this music. Boris, who was browned off with the French?
Ah, right, yes. This refers to the Agriculture Minister Nick Brown and his one-man boycott of Le Bœuf. No, not just the beef, but everything from France. And in place of a proper European policy, from the government, he has decided to stop eating anything from France in retaliation for the continuing French ban on a British beef, which is meant to cheer us all up and, you know, vindicate the government's brilliant European policy, which, of course, it does. I mean, it's a fantastic strategy. Three cheers, Mr. Brown. Three cheers.
Another
Mr.
mad
Brown.
Cow kicks the bucket. Agriculture Minister Nick Brown has declared a personal boycott on French products after the French refused to lift their ban on British beef. French government warned Mr. Brown that they've informed their lawyers about his actions, saying, look what happened to the last British boycott that ended up in the French courts. And the scores at the end of round two are, thrillingly, everybody 8 points each. And we start round three with a letter seen in the Western Morning News.
As I and many decent, respectable people know, sex comes after marriage, not before. So many people sleep around today that it leaves a nasty taste in one's mouth.
And leaves us on to a future question. Linda, which ancient beasts came to Auntie's rescue this week?
Oh, the dinosaurs, isn't it? It's Walkies for Dinosaurs, this new wildlife programme. But they've had some criticism, haven't they? Because people have said that it's not strictly scientifically accurate, that actually dinosaurs didn't have little tellies on their tummies and there were no tinky-winkiosaurs at all. So apparently that's the problem. It's very popular, but it's a bit dodgy on the science, unlike, of course, the Flintstones, which I take all my life to know.
We're back to Lady Thatcher, aren't we, here? I mean, this is meant to be the conference of the dinosaurs, and if you talk to senior Tories, they're very worried about this comparison with elderly relatives who don't get on. And obviously the scene that comes to mind is Christmas in Tory Towers. Fionn and William are doing their best. Tensions are rising, and you overhear the dialogue. If she comes into the kitchen again, I'll hit her. Get one of the children to go in there and ask her about the Falklands War. I know that Ted is annoyed. He doesn't like his present. He says he's already got a map of Europe.
Actually, John, you've hit upon something there, because I think that's why they've been so nice to her at conference, because they're guilty about putting her in a home.
It was a bit anthropomorphic walking with dinosaurs. They sort of project all these qualities onto these things on the basis of finding a couple of bones. And so the graphics are fantastic, but the voiceover is like, hello, it's Trevor the Triceratops. Hello, Trevor. What's that, Trevor? Ooh, there's a plesiosaur trapped down the old mine shaft.
Denying that the programme was just a piece of semi-educated guesswork, BBC officials said they'd consulted all the top paleontologists. And when they didn't have an answer, they went 50-50 or asked the audience. Across the nation, millions were amazed at the sight of a giant, lumbering creature appearing to walk across their TV screens. Normally, Mr. Prescott takes the jag. John, your piece of music. That was Joan Jett singing I Love Rock and Roll. John, which noisy music maker has been told to turn down her Brighton Rock?
Oh, yeah, this is a rather sad tale about a perfectly decent young lady who just liked playing music very loudly in her home in Brighton, and the entire neighbourhood objected, and they had a whip round, and they decided that this should stop, and they took her to court. And so she, in fact... It's obviously extremely unfair. She was only trying to do her best. It was just all day. It was just fantastic volume. And they had all these meters to find out how many decibels it was. And they got her to stop.
God, Swat, how do you know that?
Funny thing with that was she said she wanted to be a rock singer, and she used to accompany herself with a tambourine. It hasn't really been a major rock instrument since the New Seekers, has it really? Don't know what that goes with particularly, a sort of dance mix version of Puff the Magic Dragon.
Talking of I love rock and roll, I discovered the other night that David Trimble is a great rock and roll chap. Maybe that's an avenue.
Really?
To yeah.
Which what particular groups did he like?
Well, I think what did he mention?
He likes Van Morrison.
Yes.
But only because he's a Protestant.
Is he?
Yeah.
Anyway, I offered him a job as rock and roll critic of The Spectator.
Yes. I think Hugh Grant has nicked your act. I want to very sue him, mate. He's got all your little mannerisms down to a T.
Very sweet of you to say so.
It's true that William Hague likes meatloaf, isn't it, Boris? He's a great meatloaf fan. And he told a colleague of mine that he, before he was married, he liked to come down on Saturday morning and play the air guitar to Meatloaf records in his pyjamas. I think if he'd done that this afternoon, it would have been an awful lot more.
Certainly had a bat out of hell this
bat
week.
Out of
Anyway, never mind all that, Boris. What was it like working with Julia Roberts? I've heard she's lovely in real life.
Julia Roberts. Is she related to Andrew Roberts?
She appears in the Magic Lantern show.
No, I see.
She's an American film star.
Very, very, very big. Lots of teeth. Huge number of teeth. More teeth than you think. That's almost Triceratopsian. Or, you know, what's the other one?
That sort of Stegosaur?
Well, yeah, that sort of teeth ratio.
There was a question about half an hour ago. Lisa Duffy was sentenced to a year's probation after playing music and performing step aerobics so loudly that neighbours complained they couldn't hear themselves having sex. Jeremy, why won't Londoners be complaining any more about long lines in the bank?
Oh, lines as in druggy reference.
Yes.
They have tested banknotes in London and found that 99% of banknotes show traces of cocaine, which is because 99% of banknotes are owned by footballers. It must have taken a very long time to test all of this stuff. Probably got rather excited during it as well.
Yes, that's it. Research by scientists working for Mass Spectral Analytical found that 99% of banknotes in London are tainted with cocaine. The tainted notes are easy to spot. They're the ones where the Queen is perspiring heavily while complaining that everyone is staring at her. In order to clean the notes, the Royal Mail says it'll be utilising a professional vacuum cleaner. Liam Gallagher starts his first shift on Monday. The scores at the end of round three. Linda and John clinging to the lead with 12 points. And on to round four. Linda, here's your piece of music. Sowing the Seeds of Love by Tears for Fears. Linda, who'll be bringing home the bacon for British women?
I think this is a story about Danish sperm donors.
Is
this big? It's frozen.
It's smoked, isn't it? Smoked sperm.
But if it doesn't say Danish all the way through.
Why are we importing Danish sperm, though? That's the point.
Because we don't have enough.
Are we not men enough to grow our own sperms? What if there was a war? We'd need a land army helping us produce our sperms.
Very sneaky, get them in before they're even embryos, when they're just, you know.
Sperms aren't embryos, that's different, isn't it? Embryos are a combination of the ladies' one and the men's one, aren't they?
Oh, really?
Yes. I've seen that diagram of the lady's front bottom that looks like the skull of a long-horned steer. That's it.
Well, I must say, thank you, Doctor.
The sperms are little tadpoley ones, aren't they? Yeah, I know, I understand.
I wish that Michael Portillo was here. He was attending a Fringe meeting. Everyone was very excited about what he was going to say.
It's not often you hear that phrase, do you, is it?
No.
I wish Michael Portillo were here.
He'd have a thing or two to tell us about Danish sperm, I'm sure.
Yes. Would you mind? Anyway, he was asked at this Fringe meeting. Everyone thought who was going to ask a question, and they decided that no reporter should ask a question, but someone from the audience this meeting said, could I ask you about sex education? And all the reporters, of course, giggled. They're like that, you know. Reporters are like that. I wasn't there, but they giggled.
Yes, it was the news that the British sperm banks were to begin using Danish sperm to compensate for a lack of donors here. Cryos, the biggest sperm bank in the world, is also the most technologically advanced, having recently installed two hole-in-the-wall machines for instant... 2-point cylinder.
Incidentally, if there are any men in the audience who are worried about their sperm count and are trying for a family, your sperm count can be adversely affected by heat, caffeine and alcohol, so you mustn't soak your testicles in Irish coffee before sex.
John, which group of scientists are blowing their own trumpet?
Oh, I get all the boring questions, don't I? This is about some crazy attempt to, instead of getting a trumpeter to test how the trumpet blows with their lips, they've got some plastic lips or something. It's incredible. Why at the Tory party conference I should be reading stories about plastic lips being used as an experiment on trumpets? You know what the answer is? Because I'm appearing on the news quiz this week.
No, it's because they've been fitted to the podium at the party conference.
I tell you why it is. I've just been down the front promenade type thing in this wonderful town, and almost every shop I went into was selling plastic lips of one kind or another. And,
what were you looking for, Boris?
Well, I can tell you. I tell you, whatever I was looking for, I jolly well found it.
French scientists have constructed a large pair of latex lips which are capable of playing a brass instrument on their own. Other recent musical experiments have been just as successful. A giant eyebrow from Manchester has already written and performed 3 Oasis albums. Boris, who was flying mile-high club class?
That's the question I wanted.
You may yet get it.
You just get under a blanket with Linda until we finish.
I can tell you exactly what they looked like, because it was a brilliant reconstruction by the Sun newspaper of what might have taken place, or did take place, at 35,000 feet.
It was quite simple, Boris. They were trying to get their seats into an upright position.
They didn't even go in the lavatory, did they, like decent people?
I wonder how generally it's felt that they had a hard time. No. A rough deal. Because, you know, this fellow, as far as I can understand, has actually lost his job. Mm. And,
Well, that comes of thinking you're President of the United States, doesn't it?
Jolly good point. Because he didn't lose his job. And not only, he lied about it. Is public sympathy with these people, or does it feel censorious?
I think jealousy is the word.
Yes, it was David Machin, a company director, Amanda Holt, a sales manager, who, despite never having met before takeoff, were escorted from the plane in handcuffs since Amanda had lost the key. Asked for their comment, a spokesman for Hallmark, the greeting card company where Mr. Machin works, said, "All of us are feeling quite blue. What a terrible thing for David to do." Oh, there's more. There's more. She's like Beowulf. Machin the fool is pushing his luck. The business class cabin is no place for an alleged lubricant. Jeremy, which football manager didn't have the stomach to stay in a traffic jam?
Don't know.
No, you can't say that, because otherwise we'll lose.
Oh, do you know?
No, we've got to get this.
We both know, and we want to win, don't we?
Yes,
we
both.
Football manager what?
Which football manager didn't have the stomach to stay in a traffic jam?
Oh, thingy had the SH1Ts, and somebody did, didn't they?
Alex Ferguson.
Okay, one point. You've got Alex. The answer there, haven't you?
Yes, it is Alex Ferguson, who was
he
was charged with dangerous driving, but it turned out that he was just driving along the hard shoulder in order to go to the toilet, basically.
So you can imagine the kids at school now saying, please, sir, please, sir, can I do an Alex Ferguson?
Apparently, his lawyer said something like he had two options. One was the unthinkable. I assume the other one was the one he thought of.
Has Alex Ferguson lost his job for this? I mean, this was actually breaking the law. As I understand it,
the magistrate decided that going to the loo was perfectly normal, and if you have to get on the hard shoulder, that's okay too. So he's let off. He wasn't. It's now called the Ferguson defence.
There's obviously one law for Alex Ferguson and one law for a chap sitting in, in club class who happens to catch the eye of someone else. I mean, I think there's double standards here, and perhaps Alistair Campbell is involved.
Some fluids you can hold and some you can't.
He's morally more defensible than Alex Ferguson was, who was actually endangering people's life and limb by pulling over in the hard shoulder. Yeah!
Football manager Alex Ferguson was let off by magistrates despite admitting that he drove along the hard shoulder of the M62. He claimed he was desperate to do what Chelsea did to Man U last weekend. We reveal the final scores. Jeremy and Boris with a very creditable 14.5, but Linda and John have scooped the pool with 18 points. And we leave you with an article from the Daily Telegraph property section, spotted by Anne Hay.
A lot of spies pose as couples, but they're not really married. They need three-bedroom semis so they can have a bedroom each and a room to do the business.
With that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Jeremy Hardy, Linda Smith, John Sargent and Boris Johnson. The chairman was Simon Hoggett and the news is read by me, Peter Donaldson. The chairman's script was written by Dave Cohen, Tom Jameson and George Poles. And the producer was Lucy Armitage.